This is your host, Michelle, and you're listening to Old TV with a New Twist. Let's see what classic television show we're watching and talking about this week.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums.
Gray sky, hello blue. There's nothing can hold me when I hold you. Feels so right, it can't be wrong. Rocking and rolling all week long. Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday, what a day.
Everyone, and welcome to episode 43 of Old TV with a New Twist. Today we're going to talk about the iconic sitcom Happy Days, which was requested by my listener, Michael. So Michael, this goes out to you. I want to welcome back my co-host for his third time. You are getting up there. Tony Marino, welcome.
Thank you. Third time. I'm just a regular now.
Yeah, I think you're a veteran. You're a veteran
definitely.
Of this podcast.
Yeah.
So how does that feel?
It's a lot easier now. Like, I know what I'm getting into. I don't know your address, obviously, still got lost on the way. But I'm on more calm coming in, you know.
You always seemed calm.
I was, but, you know, it's like a duck. It's what you see above the water, it's below is what's really going on.
So. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you always performed well, Tony.
Thank you.
Now, we're going to talk about Happy Days, like I said, just to give you a little background about the show. And I get this all from IMDb, and it's very confusing because it ran for 11 seasons from 1974 to 1984, which 74 to 84 is 10 years,
correct.
But it's 11 seasons. So maybe it started in early 74 and ended in late 84, so they snuck in a little. I don't know, but that's the stats.
I wonder if it was one of those where it was like they did like almost a half season, but it counted as a full season.
But I looked, all 11 seasons had like 28 episodes. It was like 11 full seasons. So I don't know, but that's it.
That's
255 episodes. And obviously this show was built around Ron Howard, who was he was Opie on the Andy Griffith Show. Have you ever seen? You've seen Little Opie?
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that, but I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
now,
so yeah. He was like the more established star. He mm-hmm. was the one, he was just on American Graffiti, which was a movie about the 50s. So he was perfect for this. And it's a suburban family, the Cunninghams, who live in 1950s Milwaukee. And do you know, though, when this series started, there was three kids?
Oh, I feel like I do kind of remember this now.
There was Richie and Joni and Chuck, the older brother.
Oh, I don't know why. I thought it was a younger kid. And they, like, maybe I'm thinking of the Bradys when they had the cousin come home.
Oliver.
Once and he disappeared. Yeah. But now I don't remember Chuck.
Chuck was there for the first two seasons. And then when season three started, they just had two kids.
He didn't test well, apparently.
he was just gone.
He gone.
That was one of the interesting things
that happened back in the day.
Yeah, on TV. Yeah. And you're probably right. The audiences didn't take to him.
Yeah.
So here we go. Season 5, episodes 1, 2, and 3. Tony, we are not just going to talk about any old episode. We're going to talk about an episode that has become iconic. And when I told you I wanted to do Happy Days, you suggested, let's do Fonzie Jumps the Shark.
Yeah, that's the episode
so
for Happy Days.
So why that episode? And what is your viewing history with this show?
I feel like every time we do a show, it's a Nick at Night show for me. So I was probably like, I mean, maybe 8 or 9 when I started watching the show. But yeah, this was the one that, like, I really remember. I don't remember much else of the show besides the Jump the Shark episode. Even when I was watching it, I was wondering, I'm like, was this when the show was kind of getting bad and they needed, like, an episode like this to kind of spark viewership again? But then you're saying it ran for 11 seasons. Well, this was season 5, so I mean, what's 6 more years?
After we finish, we're going to talk about whether this is jump the shark material or not. Okay. Was it that bad? And I'm just going to say, let's hope this podcast don't jump the shark tonight. Yeah. Be like, you know what? That Happy Days episode, that's when that podcast got crappy.
That's when it jumped the shark.
So we're going to start the episode. And Tony, do you remember our last podcast was about Seinfeld?
I do.
And I was so nervous and worried because there were so many scenes and the sophistication of the comedy and the intricacies of the plot. Remember all that?
Didn't feel like it this time.
I'm not worried about it.
I got that vibe too.
I don't think we're going to have any trouble with it.
No. Not to jump ahead, but that was shocking when I watched it. I'm like, whoa, this was kind of...
What, this episode?
Yeah.
Okay, well, good. I want you to tell me all about it. Okay. But I'm going to say what this show does have. It's a lot of tomfoolery, silliness. Okay.
Yeah.
But it has a lot of heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's this traditional values and family stuff.
Family.
And family and friends, mm-hmm. him and his friends. And just stuff that you kind of want these days. And it was just fun.
I think that was sitcoms back in the day. I feel like that was all based around like... just family stuff.
Yeah.
And it is very much just families on mm-hmm. this show because the comedy's not, it's not stellar.
Okay. Tony?
Yeah.
Obviously, this 3-episode arc is called Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell us what takes the crew to Hollywood?
There's 2 guys that go into Al's, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think their limo breaks down. And Fonzie, they just kind of catch him, and he's like, yeah, I can fix your limo. But then they see him, you know, being all suave, I guess is a better word.
Yeah.
Then Devonier, which I don't know if I could say, suave with a lady. And they're like, this guy is really cool. And he could be the next James Dean. So we need to get this guy to Hollywood. He goes home. He's telling the Cunninghams that he's going to go to Hollywood as they're having a discussion about their... family vacation coming up,
right?
That they were going to go to, I don't remember where they said, but it was a leopard,
the Leopard Lodge.
Yes.
Yes.
That part I did find super funny. I don't know. I was maybe just super old and corny to me. And I'm just seeing this, you know, Howard care so much about being the grand poobah eventually, but they're talking about going to wherever it was, and Richie's like, well, I don't want to go there. He was being super whiny. I just identified with the dad at this point more. I was like, just let him go on his leopard trip or whatever. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, and then Fonzie walks in and is like, I need to go to Hollywood for an audition. And they're all like, yeah, we want to go. And the dad, this was one of the funnier lines to me. The dad's like, no, we are going to go to Leopard's Lodge, and I guess we're going to California. Yeah.
So then, of course, the 2 best friends, Potsy and Ralph,
yes,
are going to come along with the Cunninghams. So we got Fonzie and the 2 friends and the whole Cunningham family. And oh, and his friend Ralph is taking his
ironing board
as a surfboard.
Yes. I enjoyed the heck out of those 2, though.
Him walking around with the ironing board on the beach was hysterical.
Yeah.
So that's how they get there. And then all of a sudden, boom, they're there. So yeah, they're in Hollywood, and they're immediately they're all on a beach.
Yeah.
And did you notice immediately everybody's got a girlfriend?
Yeah.
Richie's got a girlfriend.
He just falls over this lady.
Fonzie's got 5 girlfriends. The 2 friends have girlfriends. He's playing a guitar on the beach, and the girls are all snuggled up to him. I'm like, this is their first night there.
That guy was Potsy. I'm assuming that was him singing. He was good.
Oh, yeah, he's a singer.
I liked him. I didn't remember, like, I remembered him, both of them to be, like, goobers.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, Potsy, he's kind of coolish, you know, with his guitar and his singing. But, yes, they all had girlfriends, and I got, like, very big Grease vibes at this point. Like, being on the beach and, like, I don't know, they were just all kind of, like, dancing around and just...
Now, you know what I got, but I'm older than you. The vibe I got was Annette Funicello and Frankie Avalon in the beach movies of the 60s. Do you know those? No? Oh my gosh.
You see, that was the like a reference. Gap. That was a reference that I wrote that down too throughout the 3 episodes. There were so many references I did not get at all.
Really? Do you have them written down? Did you write any of them?
Troy Donahue.
Yeah, he was like a star back in the 50s. And
Troy
60s.
Donahue was one. Lorne Greene shows up. Is that his name?
Yeah, you don't know who that is?
No idea.
Oh, he played the dad on Bonanza, which was a long-running, very popular show.
There
back
was
then.
One more. I did write him down, but okay. Jack Benny. I thought that guy was actually really funny.
He was doing the boat driver doing an impersonation of Jack Benny was sillier than jumping the shark, I thought.
I just really enjoyed that.
It was way silly. But yeah, so we just get the whole California thing.
Yeah.
And they're doing a lot of water skiing. But we're going to put the water skiing aside because the Fonzie jumping the shark might be the number one story here. But we have the secondary story of the screen test. Tell us about the screen test. Fonzie's going to go to Paramount Studios, which is where they filmed this show.
Paramount. It said Paramount, I think, pictures when I saw the sign. And I just thought of my Paramount Plus subscription that I have. And I'm like, they haven't updated that at all in the past 50 years. It looks the same font and all. Yeah. So they go to a screen test. And it was so obvious immediately what was going to happen. Like, I knew it. They show up. It's Fonzie and Richie. And Richie has been practicing lines with Fonzie. And the director's telling them what's going to happen. And I think they had somebody who was supposed to read with Fonzie.
Right.
And he couldn't make it to that day. I don't know what happened to him, but he couldn't make it that day. So Fonzie's like, hey, you know, my buddy here, Richie, he can read for us. He knows all the lines. And they do their reading. And they end up loving Richie and not loving Fonzie. So yes. Here we go from there, which like, was the most obvious thing.
And Fonzie,
ever.
As cool as he is, and we're going to talk about Fonzie as a character, he gets all butthurt.
He did, but you could tell even like when he's walking into Paramount Pictures, he's nervous. Like that's the first time you kind of ever see him sweat, I feel like, in the show.
Yes, because he's always cool.
Yeah.
Fonzie is so cool.
Yeah.
Did you think Fonzie was like... a cool character, or was he
back in the day?
Yeah,
I did, and I still kind of do, but I don't know. It's hard for me at this point to separate Fonzie from Henry Winkler.
Yeah,
and I enjoy the heck out of Henry Winkler, so I was like, I just really still enjoy the character. But yeah, I could see where Fonzie's obviously very cool.
Yeah, he was. Well, I mean, he would walk in and just hit the wall, and a light came on, and you know, snap his fingers, and every girl in the place comes running over to him, and just.
Everybody
backed down, and Fonzie was the coolest. I mean, back in the 70s, there was a certain point where he was.
Yeah, he's really... the guy.
Okay, so yeah, so there's this whole underlying. Now, from here on out, this is going to be underlying simmering between Fonzie and Richie, where I think for as cool as Fonzie is, he's acting like a big baby here. Like, I don't know if I want you to drive me in the boat when I water ski. And, you know, he was
pouting. You'd think nothing would bother him.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Nothing ever bothers him. But to get back to the main story, they're on the beach and there is, as they point out in the water, a little section of the water that's kind of netted off and everything. Yes. And there's a shark swimming. It's a man-eating shark.
Yeah. I want to know if this would ever really work. Like, they don't really do that to catch sharks.
I don't think so.
I can't imagine. They're like, oh, we got a shark. Let's try and... put a box around him and catch him and then just leave him there for, you know, a few days.
What was encasing him all the way down to the bottom of the ocean? What did they have? You know what I mean? It just looks like
it'd be some kind of netting. I don't know, but like they don't actually show, you know,
but he can eat people, but he can't eat through a net.
He doesn't have that hunger for nets.
Yeah. He likes blood.
That's right.
Well, let me remind you though, this is 1977. Now, between 1975 and 1977 was the Jaws movie craze.
I had a feeling.
Jaws came out in 75. Jaws 2 came out in 77. And the, you know, just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water.
here's Happy Days.
It was a very dramatic thing that was with Jaws 2 coming out. So sharks were big back then. Sharks were a big plot point.
And I said I got Grease vibes, but I also got Jaws vibes. And I wanted to, and I never got around to it, but I wanted to look at when Jaws came out compared to this episode because I had a feeling.
We are smack in the middle of Jaws mania.
You could tell.
Smack in the middle. Yeah.
Good for them for riding that wave.
Yeah. Oh, was that a pun?
There you go.
Good one, Tony. But there's a bully on the beach. Tell us about the bully.
California King or Kid?
Kid.
Kid.
I think it's Kid. Kid.
And it happens to be Richie's new lady's cousin. Second cousin.
Yeah, you know, something. Yeah.
Second cousin. But just California Kid, I don't know. I can't remember his real name. But he's won all kind of skiing tournaments. And he comes in off the water and he sees that Fonzie's got a bunch of ladies and he's like, whoa, these are my ladies. I think he calls Fonzie at one point the B squad. So they're going back and forth, jawing a little bit, and it gets to the point where Fonzie gets challenged to water ski.
Yes, they're going to do a water ski
super cool
challenge.
You know, water ski.
But the California Kid, could it be any more cliche, this name? I mean, it's like they couldn't come up with
it. He had those beautiful blonde locks, too. You know, I do have to say, I love the sweatshirt. I love the sweater.
What did it say? Did it say something?
It was like a light blue sweater, but it had all his stamps from where he won water skiing tournaments.
So it's like a Formula One racer with all the...
Weirdly, I'm not a fashionista, but I was like, I feel like this is that type of sweater is like almost back in style. But
really?
But also kind of like, I even took that down in my notes. I feel like some of the fashion for the guys more than the girls, like all the guys wearing short shorts, I mean...
they were very short.
I don't go that short, but I feel like short shorts are in style for men, so
yeah, you know. Okay, so Fonzie and the California Kid, they're gonna square off on water skis.
I just think it's so funny. It's very manly,
you think?
No, totally kidding.
Like, I don't think so.
It's just like, you know, when you think of like proving your masculinity, you're not like, let's go water ski, you know?
Yeah,
that's
I'll show
prove
you
I'm a
yeah.
man.
Well, you know, at one point Fonzie once jumped over a fried chicken stand on the show on his motorcycle.
Oh, wait. I do kind of remember
this. It was
like
an Evel Knievel kind of stunt.
I totally remember this episode now. It was in Al's parking lot.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Season 3, episodes 3 and 4, titled Fearless Fonzarelli.
Does Fonzie gets like a concussion or something? He's going to do it, but he gets like... knocked out or something like that.
He hurts something and yeah, he winds up, yeah.
He's like, he tries to do it and they're like, he gets on the, he tries to stand up at one point. He's very woozy, I think.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, we're not going to do it. And Richie's like, I'll step in, I guess. I don't remember it that fondly, but enough.
So Fonzie doesn't back down to a challenge. Somebody challenged him to jump the chicken stand, which he did. And now he's going to do this, whatever they plan on doing. I don't know what this skiing thing is going to be. Now, they're all at the beach, and this water skiing competition is going to commence. Tell us what happens. What's going on here?
So, California Kid goes. He does it in his best time ever, 20 seconds.
Remember that number.
So, next up is Fonzie, who's been water skiing for all of, now, I guess, a day or two. And he's going to take on this guy who has won several water skiing championships.
Tell me how Fonzie is attired to water ski.
He's not taking off that leather jacket. He's got his leather jacket on, still his white t-shirt. So now it's Fonzie's turn. And Fonzie does it in 20 seconds as well.
What are the odds?
What are the odds? Who would have guessed that?
I know.
He did practice for 2 days.
Right. And this guy is a world champion skier.
It's incredible. I was not shocked at all.
Right. So it's a tie, Tony.
What are we going to do?
What are we going to do?
So this is when the California Kid's driver comes through, Jack Benny, and he's like, look, mate, this is what you need to do. There's that shark out there. I got some intel that the Fonz is not fond of sharks. Tell him, let's jump this shark. He's going to cower down. You won't even have to do it, and you'll be good. And then you'll really look like the man.
So, and he'll look like a coward.
There you go.
They don't know who they're messing with.
Yeah, Fonz doesn't back down.
So Fonzie agrees, because he can't say no. He cannot. Because he's like the coolest and whatnot. But Fonzie was afraid.
Oh, yeah.
It showed a little crack in Fonzie's armor.
Mm-hmm.
This, they showed a little vulnerability with Fonzie that I appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it makes him human, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of like that, because he showed that he was a little afraid, but nope, I'm going to do it.
Well, I mean, Indiana Jones is afraid of snakes, you know, so even those cool guys are
that's
afraid
right.
of things.
And then Superman has kryptonite.
There you go. Everybody's got to have something.
And yeah,
I'm still looking for mine personally, but you know.
Nothing scares nothing. You, huh, Tony? Nothing. Okay, good. So then after Fonzie agrees, he's going to do it. We get the to be continued. That's yes. The end of the second part of this 3-part. So now this is the final part. This part, and how long you think they've been there at this point?
In Hollywood?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you should be there for at least, like, 4 or 5 days at this point, but it doesn't seem but, like, 2 days.
Right. It really seems like the second day, because in this, if this begins with Richie is getting dumped by this girl on the beach, okay? I'm like, God, that was a quick love story.
I literally wrote it down. I'm like, Richie's old lady does not do a lot of planning out. Like, she's very last minute. She's like, oh yeah, I gotta go. I'm just gonna start packing. I gotta leave in 20 minutes.
Yeah. It's like, what?
I was shocked. I guess she's like, I guess since I'm about to get on the plane, now I have to tell you.
Yeah, and I'm like, first, and then he's acting all, and I'm like, you've known her for one day.
Well, at one point he says, you know, this is the lady I'm going to marry, apparently. She's like, nah, we're just hanging out.
And then she's like, yeah, I'm leaving. I'm out of here today. And I'm like, dang, girl.
Like, she's cold-blooded.
Like, I'm like, you know, you'll be fine. You're going to go on to direct Apollo 13 and stuff, so you're good.
You're right.
So Potsy and Ralph, they come rushing up to tell Richie that Fonzie agreed to jump the shark.
That's right.
Richie's like, oh, come on, man. This is stupid. Don't do this. And this is where I laughed the most, is what Richie told Fonzie, because Fonzie said, no, I'm going to do it. I got to do it. You know, I'm the Fonz. I got to do this. And Richie says, fine, go jump over the shark. But if you get your legs bit off, don't come running to me. I'm sorry. It's funny.
So bad.
It was funny. You didn't think that was funny?
That was like ultimate dad joke right there.
I thought that was funny. But anyway, so Fonzie accepts the challenge under what condition? Do you remember?
Yeah, that California kid goes first.
Yeah. All right. So a ramp miraculously appears in the water and Jack Benny fires up the boat. What happens?
The ramp kept floating around to me too, which as ramps, I guess, do that in the water.
That are built so quickly and hastily.
But, you know, sometimes it was like right in front of the thing. And then sometimes it was like almost horizontal to the shark. I was like, this ramp is not made properly. All right. So what was it? I'm sorry. I'm going to
So California kid's going to go first. What happens?
He's going and he's this is when you see his face acting like he's rolling and he's kind of just see the worry grow on his face, and he's just getting closer and closer and closer until the last second he bails out, just like Richie's old lady does, you know. The last second he couldn't do it.
Okay, so he chickens out.
He does. He can't.
Fonz
do
wins. But what
they're telling the Fonz, like, you don't have to do it, man, you're good. But he's like, they're just toxic masculinity, you know. He's like, I have to do it, if not I'm not a man. Well, it's also because he felt like he came out to Hollywood and didn't get anything accomplished. You know, he didn't get this acting contract, and Richie has won the acting contract. So he's like, I need to go back to Milwaukee with something. Jumping the shark was going to be the something he was going to go back with.
Okay, so tell us what happens. Fonzie's going to do it. Richie's going to drive the boat.
I've been saying at first he was not going to drive the boat. That wishy-washy really quick. He was like, I'm not driving you. We're not doing this. This is dumb. He's like, all right, Ralph, get in. And Ralph's super hyped to drive. He's like, finally, I get to drive a boat.
Yeah, and they're like, no.
And then Richie's like, all right, fine, I'll do it. I mean, this is all within like 3 to 5 seconds.
Yeah.
So Richie drives him, and I don't remember Fonzie on the way up to the ramp to look very concerned. Like I said, you could see on the California kid's face, he's like, I don't want to do this. But Fonzie was kind of just like focused almost. He gets up there and he just jumps right over that shark.
Darn. He's a hero.
He jumps over and then he gets wheeled back to the beach, which you could tell when he jumps over the shark, you're like, all right, that's probably, you know.
Let's see. Do you think there was really Henry Winkler jumping over there?
No, but you could see whenever they're bringing him back to the beach, that's Henry Winkler on those skis.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, wow, good for him for doing some of the skiing.
What happens after he wins?
All the kids jump up and down, and Fonz gets skied back to the beach. You know, they're all hugging and stuff. And I'm trying to think what does happen next.
I just have here that we're back at the hotel or wherever that they're staying, and Richie is discussing Hollywood contract with his parents, because he's got to sign it if he's going to take the, you know, apple pie face contract or whatever. There's this very touching father-son talk here about, you know, you go to college and this Hollywood thing. And you know, so Richie decides to tear up the contract.
He didn't tear it up. He just throws it into the ocean.
Oh, he threw it in the ocean? I thought he tore it first. Oh, and he don't do that till he goes and talks to Fonzie.
Right. But I did enjoy the conversation with his dad. I kind of felt like that was pretty progressive of a conversation for his dad, because I feel like at the time, you know, it would probably more be like, you're gonna go to college and this is what you're gonna do. But he was like, you gotta do what's best for you, man, and you gotta make your own decisions. And I thought that was kind of cool of the even of the 70s for them. Once they show Richie on the pier, I was like, okay, this thing's getting tossed right in the water.
Yeah. Nothing surprising this. There, though. You knew that was going to happen.
Did.
And then so because of that, him and Fonzie are good.
Yeah.
They made
reconcile.
Up. And we're back at Arnold's malt shop in Milwaukee.
That's
like,
right.
Real quick.
That's right.
They didn't even take a plane back. They're just there.
They did not. They didn't even show us on the flight. You know, maybe they took a train. Who knows?
Yeah. So they come back. And nothing much happens at the end. Chachi is there, who's a little young Scott Baio, who is sniffing on little Joni Cunningham. But he was like, every time he saw her, he was like, wah, wah, wah.
That was just saying. Oh, my God.
He was so horny or whatever the word was. God, he was.
He was 13 or 14, whatever it is. You are very at that age.
Really?
Know?
Okay. He was, oof. But he only had eyes for Joni, I think. Was Joni that attractive of a girl? No, I didn't think so.
No,
not in the least. So that's it. So they go back to Arnold's. They give everybody their little souvenirs that they brought them. Yes. Fonzie has come out a hero. Richie has learned a lesson. And that was the end of the Jump the Shark episode. Now, one of the discussion questions that I gave you on your prep sheet that you don't want anymore. He says he don't want a prep sheet, y'all, because he said he wants to be, you know, off the cuff.
That's right.
All right. So that you're going to get what you asked for next time. But here's the thing. Okay, like we talked, this started the whole genre, the whole Jump the Shark genre.
Mm-hmm.
But did it really jump the shark here? I don't think it was that bad.
You don't think the 3 episodes was that bad, or do you don't think the show itself was that bad after?
I don't think that the show itself was that bad, and you have to realize this is season 5, and it ran for 11 seasons. It went on for, it was barely halfway through its run.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think, even though it started this whole Jump the Shark craze, I don't think it really jumped the shark here. Even though Fonzie did jump the shark, the show didn't jump the shark.
I don't know. It's just, maybe it was like a show of the times, you know? It's such different times now that it did feel kind of bad to me.
It did? Okay.
Yeah. It was very much like the comedy wasn't funny to me. It was just like, here's the setup and then there's a punchline. It's right. Like, ba-dum, you know?
Okay, but here's the thing. Did you watch like The Sopranos?
I watched a little bit. I couldn't super get
it. I'm trying to think of
either.
A serious show. Okay, let's just take a serious show like The Sopranos. I didn't watch it either, but I know it's like a serious show. You strap skis on that big fat guy.
Tony?
Tony Soprano. Yeah. And you jump him over. That's ridiculous. Something's wrong with the show. Mm-hmm. It's going downhill. But on this show, it's not.
I just wonder if that would be kind of in the 70s, like as wild as they could get. And then like you're saying, too, it's like around the Jaws craze. So it's like, well,
yeah.
Just try and ride, like I said, ride that wave.
Two seasons before he jumped over a fried chicken stand. That wasn't goofy. I don't think it ruined the show.
No. I wouldn't say it ruined
or
the show.
Anything, because it went on.
I don't know. The show is that good to start off with.
Okay.
I will tell you this much. I definitely, when I watched it, I was like, man, I remembered this a lot more fondly than I'm loving it right now.
Really?
Yeah.
As silly as it was, I still think I love wholesome. I'm just that kind of person.
100%.
You know, so like I said in the beginning.
That's a very good word for it. It's wholesome.
Yeah.
And then family type. That's what you did back then, though. You know, mm-hmm. there's only a couple of channels
mm-hmm.
and you got the one TV in the house and, you know, it's 7 o'clock. That was when it was like viewing time television. You know, now it's streaming. You can watch TV whenever. Nobody's sitting down to watch television together as a family. But back in the day, that's the only way you could watch it. So it would be, let's all gather on the television, 7 o'clock, you know, Wednesday night, whatever, and watch Happy Days together. And you were watching what you were living, too. You know,
yeah.
It's more relatable.
Absolutely. Okay, Tony, let's gauge what we thought of this episode. You are familiar with our humor meter. From 1 to 10, I can't wait to see what you think of the humor.
Oh, man. I don't want to be too hard on it.
No. Just be, Tony, you need to be honest.
Do we do full round numbers or do you need decimal points?
No. I know how you are. You can go decimal. I'll ask you to keep it to 2 decimal points, though.
No. Just one.
Or one. Okay.
Like a 3.2.
Really?
I just did not think it was that funny.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, it was just, and you know, maybe it's the difference in like just rewatching one episode and rewatching three. Because like one episode, I could just be like, oh, okay, this is cool. And about a third episode, you're like, all right.
I gave it a solid 7.
Dang.
I score high. I'm sorry. I do it every time.
I want to go back and see what my other two were. I'm curious.
I know. Seinfeld, I think you were pretty high
probably
on.
Seinfeld was, I.
Yeah.
And that's what's weird. And it's so much older, but like Seinfeld still hits for me.
Okay. Your favorite moment or LOL moment, the one that made you laugh the most?
I don't know that I had a moment where I laughed out loud. Maybe, like, I did enjoy, I don't know why Ralph Mouth did kind of make me laugh. He did make me laugh.
Okay.
And even more than Bossy, like, them two together were funny, but, like, Ralph Mouth, I don't know why.
The moment I laughed the most, you know what it is, because I laughed when I talked about it. Yeah. You didn't think it was funny at all. If you get your legs bit off by a shark, don't come running to me. How is that line not hysterically funny?
You know, I don't really think they like played it up that much either.
Like you could have missed it if you would, you know, taking a sip of your beverage or something. You could have missed that
line.
But
like Fonzie was just like, I don't know. He didn't play into it. He was just like, I didn't like it almost. I don't know.
He didn't catch it. Okay. Now watchability meter, Tony, if you were to watch an episode or two of this show, would you want to watch more? On a scale of 1 to 10, what's the number of...
Watch more? That would be tough, to be honest. It really would. And like, I 100% agree. Like you're saying, wholesome and stuff like that. You know, maybe if like I had kids and stuff like that, I could, you know.
You could sit them down in front of this and know they're not going to see anything inappropriate.
100%. And like,
or
you know,
hear anything inappropriate. Nothing.
They might enjoy kind of the slapstick nature of it too. And like, nothing's going to go crazy over their heads. And it's wholesome. Like you said, it's almost right. Full House-ish, you know. But I don't have kids.
So to hell with it.
So like, for me and the wife to just sit at home and watch that?
No.
It'd be tough.
But so you give it a 0 on the watchability meter.
Well, you said watch like more. Could like, I like sit down and like watch an episode? Yeah, for sure. Like if I was just hanging out.
But it's not something you'd want to.
I'm not like binging it now.
No. Okay. I respect that very much.
I feel like I'm giving such a negative review.
It's like you didn't say it was that bad. But
does anybody ever give negative reviews on the shows?
Caleb all the time.
Okay,
my gosh.
I was going to say, I feel like Caleb always gets bad shows.
He does. Just me. Now, of course, Jump the Shark has come to mean something in the English vernacular. It's its own thing now.
I was wondering when you said that. I didn't know,
okay,
kind of know that.
I'm going to tell you how this came about,
okay,
because I read the book Jump the Shark. It was written by a guy named John Hain in his sophomore year at the University of Michigan in 1987. He was living with 4 other guys in a dorm. They were sitting around drinking beer one night, you know, guys in college, just talking about girls' sports. And then they started talking about classic TV because Nick at Night was on at that time. Probably at the time all these shows were coming on.
Right.
And so they were just talking about stuff. And they said, what we asked one another was the precise moment that you knew it was all downhill for your favorite show. So they named several shows and what the catalyst was. And they said the Flintstones, the arrival of the Great Kazoo. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
Yeah. The Love Boat.
I definitely don't remember that.
The arrival of Vicky. And then somebody said Happy Days. And his friend Sean said, that's easy. When Fonzie jumped the shark. And everyone was silent. No explanation was necessary. So then they started using it at college. Like, did you see the game last night? Oh, yeah, the Pistons really jumped the shark.
This is when
or,
it jumped the shark.
You know, the history final. Yeah, I jumped. You know, something like that. So, but then over a decade later, he needed to learn how to build a website to teach a class on it. So he created www.jumptheshark.com with approximately 200 shows, and all of his friends logged in to vote on which episodes they feel jumped the shark and what moment. So the site took off. A few months later, he's reading the Los Angeles Times, and they published an article about an April Fool's episode of South Park. And in the article, they speculate if the show had jumped the shark. So that's how he found out the phrase had hit a nerve, and he checked the site, and soon it had over 2 million votes on it and 2,000 shows, and it had totally taken off. And now people talk about jumping the shark. And at the end, when I do my trivia, I'm going to tell you, because I read the book by Gary Marshall, who's the creator of the show, mm-hmm. and Ron Howard, who is the star, obviously, and they address the jump the shark issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. We're going to talk about trivia for this show. Obviously, Henry Winkler's Fonzie became a breakout star. Ron Howard, Richie, was supposed to be the star of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then after about three or four seasons in, Fonzie was, you know, he skyrocketed up the ladder with the cast. And they, the network said, you change the name of that show to Fonzie's Happy Days.
Whoa.
And when Ron Howard found out about it, he was a little upset because he was hired to be top billing. That's apparently a thing. Mm-hmm. You get hired for top billing.
Yeah.
And they were going to put Fonzie at the top. And Henry Winkler and Ron Howard were best friends in real life. They're like godfather to each other's kids and all mm-hmm. this kind of stuff. So they're very close. Of course, this would have been a huge boost to Henry Winkler's career. And he said, nope, absolutely not. I'm not doing it. He stood with Ron Howard, and Ron Howard said, I'm not in favor of it because my contract says I have top billing. And so the network backed down.
Wow.
And they didn't change the name, which that took, those two took a, it took a lot for those two to stand up to that, but they did.
I don't think that would have worked.
No. And then this show had three spinoffs. Can you name them? Let's see.
Joni Loves Chachi.
Joni Loves Chachi was terrible. I'll give that one to Caleb.
Something with Fonzie?
Nope. The other two were people who made guest appearances on an episode of Happy Days, and then they decided to spin them off in their own show. And one of them was Mork and Mindy.
Oh.
Mork made an appearance on this show.
I remember this now.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other one is Laverne and Shirley. So it had three spinoffs. Two were successful.
I'm just thinking Laverne and Shirley. I do remember that because of the theme song. That was a great theme song.
Great theme song.
Which this theme song was great too.
Yeah. Which everybody will have heard because we lead in with the theme songs.
Nice.
But listen, about this episode, about the Jump the Shark, I just want to tell you real quick that Gary Marshall, the creator of the show.
Yes.
In his book, his memoir, he wrote about Hollywood. This is what he had to say. He said, people ask him if he finds it offensive that the phrase jump the shark is widely used to signify that a TV series is nearing the end of its run. He says that while it's certainly not one of the episodes that he is most proud of, he loves the phrase and he loves that it's used. So he didn't take any offense to it. Now, Ron Howard wrote a memoir with his brother called The Boys. It's about their life in Hollywood. It's really very good. He said the show opened the fifth season with an implausible three-series arc. We know what he's talking about. He said they shot the exterior scenes in Malibu. So they were on their way down there. He rode with Donnie Most, who played Ralph.
Okay.
And they rode together down to shoot in Malibu. But he said the guy, he's flipping through the script. Donnie Most, who mm-hmm. played Malph, is flipping through the script in the car. And he says, Ron, this script, what do you think of it? And he says, look, the writers know what they're doing. I'm sure it's going to be fine. He said, and Donnie held the script open and he paused and he pointed to it and he said, Fonzie, he's jumping a shark? Donnie felt the show may be going too far. And he voiced that to Ron Howard in the car. And Ron Howard goes on to say, at the time, I believed in the writers that they knew what they were doing. And he said, however, the Jump the Shark episodes were a ratings success. And he said, and Happy Days remained a hit show for another 6 years after that season. So apparently it didn't jump the shark.
Mm.
Ron Howard agrees with me. I don't think it jumped the shark here. I think this show changed drastically when Ron Howard left. And then Joni and Chachi left for their own show, but then they came back because it was a dismal failure. They got all these new characters. It was a whole new crew.
That never works.
So I think that's when it jumped the shark, is when he left. It didn't jump the shark when it jumped the shark, in other words. But that would change history, Tony. We can't say that.
I mean, it sounds like Donnie Most kind of agreed with me.
I think he did. You guys are simpatico.
And I said Ralph Malph. I enjoyed him the most. So maybe that was it.
All right. So, Tony, overall, for your viewing experience, was it totally dismal? You enjoyed a little? I feel guilty, especially you watched three parts.
No, not at all. It was a nice trip down memory lane. And I'm talking about like the theme song. Like, I got very nostalgic listening to the theme song, venturing on emotional hearing the theme song.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know if it was like the theme song itself, but like, it was just, it reminded me a lot of my grandpa. And this is just like, you know, the type of living he really loved and stuff like that. And we would talk about, you know, so yeah, I enjoyed it. I did enjoy my experience okay. with watching it. So no, it wasn't all bad.
So everything you just said for the past hour was a lie then.
Because you sounded like you hated all it. Over the place.
Tony, I don't know. My husband's going to say, did Tony enjoy it? I'm like, I don't know. We just talked about it for an hour. I have no idea how he felt about it.
I try not to have bad experiences in life. Okay. You know, I'm going to take the best out of whatever I'm doing. But, you know, if you're asking me if I'm going to watch, you know, more or again, probably not.
No.
But yes. I was like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah. So the best thing you're going to take out of this is the first 4 seconds, the theme song.
And the last. Yeah. That's well, you know,
it was just everything in between that was a problem.
I can tell you this. I listened to the theme song every time. And that was probably also only because there wasn't like when I'm streaming a skip intro thing.
Right.
You know, I was like, that even felt old at this point that I'm like, I had to watch it on a DVD. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good. So you did enjoy watching.
I did.
And you said exactly what Gino says. Gino did the Mary Tyler Moore Show with me. And I was like, well, have you ever seen it? He's like, no. But I heard the theme song because Nick at Night, the theme song used to come on right after some show y'all watched in the 90s. Rugrats? No. What?
I was about to say, it was probably like an actual show he watched like for Nickelodeon, then it leads.
It was a
that.
Nickelodeon show, yeah. And then Nick at Night took over.
Right.
So it would always be the theme song came on and then I turned it off. So all I ever heard was the theme song, but he recognized the theme song.
It's a great theme song.
It was
too.
Like, oh yeah, I recognize this. You know, not much else. And it's all because of Nick at Night. Thank God for Nick at Night because it kept these shows alive.
One thing I did want to say.
Okay.
Before you run me off.
Yeah, we're almost there.
I know we're getting close. I'm always too wordy. I didn't realize Gary Marshall created this show. And the minute I saw that name, I'm like, I know that name. And then I went to IMDb to look at all he did. And he's done a ton. I know like the Valentine's Day movies mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So like New Year's Day, I think is another one. He's done all those, but he's done a ton of stuff.
Pretty Woman, he did.
Really?
Yeah, he directed Pretty Woman.
I didn't
Woman,
get that far in his filmography.
The Princess Diaries movies he did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he did Exit to Eden. Have you ever heard of that movie?
No.
It's look it up. It ain't Happy Days.
Probably closer to Peacemaker.
It's about S&M.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
He really went against type here.
Yeah. Between him and Ron Howard, they had two heavy hitters on that that show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, okay, Tony, well, thank you so much. I enjoyed it as usual.
I did too.
Okay. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I get so worried that you're going to say, this was miserable. I'm never doing this again because you have to watch something that's really like a slog to get through.
I know how worried you are about like,
I do.
Trust me.
I don't want to lose any of my co-hosts. I got a tight group here.
Whenever you need me.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
This is Michelle, and thank you for joining us for this episode of Old TV with a New Twist. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or on your Apple Podcast app. And join our Facebook group, Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group, and tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about, and we'll keep you informed of what's to come. We'll be back next month with a whole new episode of Old TV with a New Twist.